Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Physics Phone Call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Sheni, the 14th day of the month of Tammuz. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today daily email. You can sign up for those emails at together.ou.org, together.ou.org. There is a box on the left side of the screen. Enter your email address and you will start receiving these emails. If you'd like to sponsor future calls, and we truly appreciate your support, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Heshi Billet, Mora d'Astra of the Young Israel of Woodmere in Woodmere, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Billet reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, the Misha Berach, Lecholim, and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation between Rabbi Billet and myself, which will provide us all a window into his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Billet.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. It's a great honor to be here with the OU and all the tremendous work that the OU has been doing during this very challenging time of the COVID pandemic. I'm going to say something that I once heard from Rabbi Soloveitchik. I also saw it in the Sefer and the book in the name of Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva for many, many years in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara, the Talmud, and the Seches Brachos, and the Tractate Brachos tells us a story. It tells us of the end-of-life experience of Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great leader of the Jewish people at the time of the destruction of the Second Temple. Ukishachola Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he got sick, Nisnasu Talmidav Levakro, his students came to visit him. And when he saw them, the Talmud tells us he began to cry. So his students were rather perplexed. They said to him, Light of Israel, rightmost pillar, mighty hammer, why are you crying? And he said to them, if I was about to face a human king who today is here and tomorrow is in the grave, who if he gets angry at me, his anger cannot be forever. If he puts me in prison, he cannot put me in prison forever. If he kills me, the death that he gives me is not forever. And I could also bribe him, and I could also persuade him to release me. I would be frightened and I would cry. And now that I'm going to face the Almighty God, who is eternal, and whose anger at me could be forever, and who cannot be bribed, and if he puts me in prison, I'm in prison forever. And if he puts me to death, the death that he puts me to is forever. I shouldn't cry. And not only that, there are two roads in front of me. One leads to paradise, one leads to purgatory, and I do not know on which road they will be taking me. And I shouldn't cry? So the question that both Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, the Rav, and Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked is, what is below Ode? And not only that, what was he adding? He already said that he's about to face God, and God is not a human king. God cannot be bribed. God cannot be deceived. What God does is forever. That's why he's scared. That's why he's crying. So what does he mean? And not only that, there's another reason why I'm crying. There are two roads in front of me, one to purgatory, one to paradise. I do not know which one they're leading me on. So both Rav Shmulevitz and Rav Soloveitchik said that what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was referring to was to a story in the Talmud in Tractate Gittin. The Talmud there tells the story that during the siege of Jerusalem, after the warehouses of food had been burned by the zealots, and there was nothing left to eat in Jerusalem, and Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai saw that there was no hope because they couldn't win a war against the Romans, he decides to go out of the city, and he's taken out by his two students, Rabbi Eliezer of Yeshua. They announced that he died, and they were taking him out. And the zealots who were guarding the city would not let anyone leave the city except bury the dead. he's taken out, and he goes before the commander-in-chief of the Roman armies, Vespasian. And at that time, when he comes before Vespasian, he says, "Oh, great emperor." And Vespasian says, "I should put you to death. I'm not the emperor. I'm only the commander-in-chief." And just then, emissaries come from Rome, and they announce the emperor is dead. Long live the emperor. Vespasian has been appointed to be emperor. Vespasian is so impressed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he asks him, he said, "I will give you any three requests." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asks for Yavne and its wise men to save the oral tradition of Torah. That's where the Sanhedrin was. He asks for a doctor for Rabbi Tzadok, who was a pious man who had been fasting during the entire siege and was very sick. And he asked that the house of the Nasi, of the president of the Jewish community, which were direct descendants from King David, at least on the mother's side, they would not have been kings of Israel, the house of Rabbi Gamliel, of Shimon Gamliel, eventually Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, that household be spared. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a dilemma. What he really should have asked for was that the Romans should go home. He should have asked the Romans not to destroy the temple, not to destroy Jerusalem. But he was afraid. He said, "If I ask for too much, I will get nothing. So I have to make my requests more minimal." Tafasta maruba lo tafasta. Sometimes when you're greedy, you do not get anything. And for the rest of his life, he was tormented by that question. Did I ask for the right thing? Could I have saved the Beit HaMikdash? Could I have saved Jerusalem? Maybe I should have asked for more. And that's the below oath. Not only am I going to be facing the Almighty God, the Eternal God, who cannot be bribed, but now, after 120 years, after I die, I am going to find out if I made the right decision. If I made the right decision, I will go to paradise. If I made the wrong decision, I will go to purgatory. And that's what life is all about. We have to make decisions. And I think, in a certain sense, that's what the COVID pandemic is all about as well. We have to make important decisions. There are always two roads in front of me. Should I go out in public and not wear a mask? Should I not safely social distance? During this period of time, my wife and I take walks. I walk every day 7 or 8 miles. And I see a lot of people who are just not taking it seriously. I see kiddushes in people's yards on Shabbos. People are not taking it seriously. No one is wearing masks. People in Israel didn't take it seriously. And there's a crisis today. We have to take things seriously. And if we take things seriously, with the help of God, we will be protected. We will be protected. And with the help of God, eventually, this too shall pass. Whatever will happen, there will be a solution to this problem, and we will go on with our lives, and we will return to normalcy. But we always have in front of us two paths, two choices. Will we take the right path, or will we take the wrong path? And as we say in sports, the ball is in our court. We have the capacity to make the decision, to wear that mask, however uncomfortable, to stay socially distant, not to socialize in an improper way, not to attend synagogue and services in an improper way, to do things the way the doctors have advised us, and God willing, this shall pass, and we will all be well and together and be able to go back and resume our normal life. Okay, I'm now going to say the three chapters of Tehillim. I will say them slowly. I will not translate. L'mnaseach mizmor l'David. Yancha Adonai b'yom tzara yisagevecha Hashem Elohei Yaakov Yishlach ezrecha mikodesh u'mitzion yisadecha Yizkar kol min chotzecha v'olosecha yidashin esela Yiten lecha chiluv avecha v'chol atzosecha yimalei Neranano b'shuasecha v'shem Eloheinu nidgol yimalei Adonai kol mishalosecha Ato yadati ki yoshi Adonai mishicho Yaneu mishimei kacho b'gburot yishar yimino Eile barecha v'eile basusim v'anachnu v'shem Adonai Eloheinu naskir hema kar'u v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'nisadad Adonai Hoshia ha'melech yaninu v'yom kareinu. Chapter 27. V'david Adonai ori v'yishi mimi ira Adonai mo'oz chayai mimi etchad v'krov olai mireyim le'echol es besari sarai v'oyevai li hema chashalu v'nafalu. Im tachane alai machane lo yirali vi, im takum alai milchama v'zos ani boteach. Achas sh'alti meis Adonai oso avakesh, shifti beveis Adonai kol yimei chayai, lachazos b'noam Adonai levakher behechalo. Ki yitzpeneni b'suko b'yom ra, Yes, the rainy say sir alo bitsuri romamani. They are told you rum roshi alo yavai to be bosai the esbachov the ohalo is the place to rua or shira vazamara varanoi. Shmaranoi koli ekra bachaneni vaneni. Bacha marli bi bakashu ponoi es ponecha aranoi bakesh. Al taster ponecha mimeni al tat the up of decha es rasi hoyisa al titasheni ve al tazveni ve heyishi. Ki aviva bi nid azavuni varanoi asveni. Oreni aranoi darkecha onecheni ve orach mishar laman shararoi. Al titaneni benefesh sarai ki kamo vi ede sheker vi fea chamas. Lule he amanti leros betul aranoi be eretz chayin. Kaveh el aranoi chazak vi ameis li becha. Be kaveh el aranoi. And now chapter 130 in Tehillim. Shir ha-ma'alos mi ma'am ha-kim krosich aranoi. Adonai Shemo v'koli, tiyeno az necho kashuvot v'kol tachan anoi. Him avonos tishmor yoh, Adonai mi yamod, ki imecho ha-silicho l'man ki barei. Kivisi Adonai ki v'so nafshi v'lid baro ho-cholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shamarim l'boker, shamarim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki maranoi ha-chesed v'arbe imo fidus, v'hu yitzez Yisrael mikol avonosov. And now I'll say Mishaberach for those who are ill. And I will pause long enough for people to insert the names of those people who need a refor shalema. Mishaberach Avoseinu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo Hu Yivarech Birape Es Kol Hacholim BeYisrael Uvesocham. Bavur shibli neda etin staka bavuram, bitzchar zeh hakadosh baruchu yimalei rachamim aleihem lachalimam ulraposam ulachazikam ulachayosam, v'yishlach l'chol echad mehen refuah shleima min ha-shamayim l'chol evareihem ul'chol gideihem, v'tzok sh'orch olei Yisrael, refuah ha-nefesh v'refuah ha-gof, hashto ba'agalo v'zman kariv v'nomar amen.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Billet. As we transition into the next part of our call, how are you, your family, and wonderful community doing?
Our community is doing very, very well, thank God. We have a large community. We have 1,100 families. We have five rabbis. So we're doing well. We unfortunately lost five people to the COVID virus, but at least three out of the five did not catch it in shul on Purim. Maybe the other two did. I'm not really sure. They were both immune compromised. And we're coping, and we're trying to deal with it in an upbeat way. We're now conducting services. We have outdoor services. We're now partially in the synagogue. We're following the guidelines that the OU put out and the guidelines that the doctors have advised us. And thank God we're hopeful and looking forward to a brighter future.
Amen. Amir Tashem. If I could dig a little bit deeper, my first question is the same one that I have shared the past week with several other rabbis across the country, many who live in smaller communities. And so it may seem a strange question for you. If I'm correct, the Young Israel Woodmere is the largest synagogue in America, or one of the largest at least. And we'd be hard pressed to find someone who hasn't heard of your wonderful shul. The Five Towns is a thriving, diverse Jewish community. However, for those on the call who may not be as familiar with Young Israel, and you mentioned just a moment ago the number of rabbis and at the large shul, could you please provide us maybe a little bit more of a brief overview of the shul? I believe your shul in normal times incredibly has a mincha every half an hour. What makes the Young Israel the incredible shul that it is and that is a model for so many?
Well, we do have a great shul. And what makes it great are the people, are the members, first and foremost, who are upbeat, generous people, tremendous Balei Tzedakah. The people who work in our office, who run our office, our secretary, our executive director, our youth directors, we have a great program, and my colleagues, the rabbis of our shul. During this corona time, each rabbi has taken on a certain responsibility. Rabbi Axelrod, who will be my successor, God willing, took on the responsibility of chesed. We raised a lot of money. We helped a lot of people who needed. A lot of people are out of work. So the people, you know, put forth and they gave money, and that was great. Rabbi Shai Schechter organized a tremendous learning program then, and now there's a new one going, just started yesterday for the summer. Rabbi Leo Wolf helped organize all the technical matters related to trying to operate this with Zoom and Boom and whatever else goes on with the calls. He's done a
right.
tremendous job in assisting on that. We have, of course, Rabbi Aaron Glass, who's been one of the Gedolim, because he's also Dr.
Yeah.
Aaron Glass, infectious diseases. He's advised the OU and the Aguda on the many difficult and important decisions that they had to make. And every Saturday night, he gives a COVID update. That's been very helpful. And then we have wonderful volunteers who try to deal with the chesed and with all of those responsibilities. We also have Rabbi Foreman, who's a very well-known Tanakh teacher, who's part of our staff. And so we have a wonderful staff during the year. You could well understand that there are a lot of shiurim. And because we have so many people and people are committed to davening, we have a daily Vasikin minyan. And we have 10 or 11 or 12, I don't know how many we're up to, daily minyanim. Every minyan has a gabbai. Every minyan is organized. We have many, many mincha minyanim every day. We have mincha marav, and then we have marav minyanim going up till 11:30 at night in a normal year. So it's a great community. It's made up of great people, and we have a wonderful staff. We all get along with each other. I don't think there's any politics amongst the rabbis. No one is jealous one of the other. And we have a very, very wonderful situation over here. It's a model for how Jews can get along. If you put your ego on the side and you try to work together, you could accomplish a lot of great things for the Jewish community and for your immediate members.
Very true. Really incredible. You know, Rabbi Billy, with every challenge, there's always opportunity. How would you say your community has grown during the ongoing pandemic? Is there an incident or a story, something that stood out to you that you could share with all of our listeners?
Well, I mean, I think that, first of all, whenever someone needs, we had the experience of Hurricane Sandy. And during Hurricane Sandy, we were tremendously, terribly affected by it. Many hundreds of families in our community had to move out of their homes during that period. So we know how to mobilize in a time of crisis. And as I said, we raised our own funds. Over here, Hurricane Sandy, we received a lot of help from outside of our community. The OU was also very helpful then. People responded. There was a young woman in my community who had to undergo some really serious surgery at Mount Sinai Hospital in the city. And mm-hmm. she was very concerned about getting in there, getting into the city, and she didn't know anyone in the hospital. And there's actually a woman who's not in our community, but she's a machatenistah to someone in our community. Her name is Dr. Rivki Hurt. Her husband, Lance, was the president of HAL. And I think he's now the chairman of REITS. And Rivki is an OBGYN. And Rivki made it her business to spend the entire day with this woman in the hospital. She literally held her hand. She had serious surgery. And this woman was so grateful. I think Rivki is an example not only of my community, but of everyone in our greater Five Towns community. And Rivki is from the Young Israel of Lawrence and Cedarhurst. People who just have been incredible in doing chesed. I mean, I have a personal story, actually. It's a funny story. I happen to be friendly with a fellow named Eli Beer. I think a lot of people might know his name from United Hatzalah and Israel, Ikud Hatzalah. And Eli was caught in America and he got sick. And he was very sick with the COVID virus for a long time. And when he went back to Israel, Baruch Hashem, he recovered. Ikud Hatzalah, United Hatzalah, is a tremendous, great organization that helps everybody in Israel. Men and women work there. It's just a Haredim, modern Orthodox, Tzioni Dati Lumi, religious Zionists, non-Orthodox. It's a great organization that he did really during the Hatzalah wars in Israel. Eli emerged in a good way. And so they did a day for Eli, to welcome him back. And we sang Hallelujah. And I cannot sing. Anyone who knows me and my wife knows that this is the last house you would want to have for Chazanis. And I was invited to sing a bar of Hallelujah in honor of Eli. I told them I can't sing. They said, do it anyway. So the first and only time in my life during the COVID crisis I became a chazan, and I sang a bar of hallelujah. And if you watch that video, they muted my voice, and they played the tune over. So that was a cute experience for me during COVID. I became a chazan. And it's the last time that I'll become a chazan. I like to say during COVID, we don't look for COVID. We just do what we can to defeat COVID.
Wow, incredible. Different communities are at different points now of this partial opening. Down here in Florida, unfortunately, our numbers are going the wrong way. Where are things currently right now in Woodmere in the five towns? And are your minyanim happening outdoors or are they indoors? And do you anticipate things changing in the near future?
Well, I think in New York, I mean, we're hard to know. We're not heading at this moment in the direction of Florida or California or Texas or some of the states that didn't have it as difficult in the beginning, but are having it very, very difficult now. Our minyanim, I have in my house, I have two daily minyanim in my backyard. We have a large attendance, but only a large enough, you have to register, only a large enough attendance in the sense as there are seats. I mean, we could accommodate about 40 or 50 people in my backyard. And everyone has to, all the seats are set up to be social distanced, and we are very, very right. stringent on masks. We will not allow anyone to be at the minyan who doesn't wear a mask. I think mine might be the last of the outdoor minyanim. Originally, when we started outdoor minyanim after Shavuos, based on the OU and RCA guidelines, there were outdoor minyanim in the houses of all the, in the backyards of all the rabbis. I think now we are back in shul, partially. According to the rules of the state of New York, you're allowed to have 25% capacity. I think we're moving into the next phase where you're going to be allowed to have 33 1/3% capacity. And everything, again, has been, like in many other synagogues, everything has been marked out by lay volunteers. And the seating is, we're very strict about the seating. We're very strict about the masks. So that is the situation in the synagogues. We also, at the time that food had to be delivered to people because there were people who couldn't go out, we had a whole system worked out for food to be delivered to people. Now it's a little bit easier. People can go into the supermarkets. I think the supermarkets out here, the kosher supermarkets, have been very good about spacing and social distancing. And so people are getting their food. The shiurim that are taking place are Zoom shiurim. We are not yet giving classes in shul. The only classes Rabbi Glad has allowed us to do is like between Mincha Maariv, a 5 or 10 minute Dvar Torah for the gathering that's there. But the formal shiurim, the formal classes are all going over Zoom. Zoom has been one of the great miracles that I think everyone has discovered during. This crisis.
Absolutely.
And I think that Zoom is going to transform a lot of things. I think a lot of kids who used to look forward to snow days, by the way, don't look forward to snow days anymore, you know, because they can have class on Zoom. My wife is a school principal, and she said she never worked harder in her life. For 3 months, she ran a school on Zoom, and she said, I can't wait to get back into the building. My job is so much easier in the building. And I, you know, so Zoom has been something that we have discovered as well.
Well, I don't know how many children we have listening to our daily calls, but I think they were very disappointed to hear your last statement. So we'll see what happens. But Rabbi Billet,
you don't have snow.
Right, we don't have snow days here. But Rabbi Billet, thank you so much for being on the call today. And sorry we muted you mid sentence there, and for providing us with a brief picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our prayers are with you and your entire community for continued bracha, success, and good health. You are right. We do not have snow days down here in Florida. We get hurricane days, and we hope that we don't have any of those. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all those in need will be answered, Latova. And may the Rabbonis Sha'olam, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Tuesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Words of Inspiration, from Rabbi Yisrael Motzen of the Ner Tamid Green Spring Valley Synagogue in Baltimore, Maryland. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, safe, and healthy day.